Yo, this is crazy. Let's go. Ladies and gentlemen, what's happening? Welcome to another edition of The Player and the Fan. I am yours truly, David Noel, the player, the coach. And we have our beautiful co-host, Miss Kiera Luck. I know sometimes my enthusiasm and my excitement for this podcast is like over the top. I know I'm a little bit somber today and there's reasons for that, but we'll get to that. Kiera, how you doing?
I have been better.
Yeah, man.
This is tough.
But before we get started, I'm gonna go ahead because I got to do it. Because yeah. You know, this is the podcast for it. And if you're watching the visual podcast, you see what I'm doing. But if you're not watching the visual podcast, if you're listening to us, I am throwing on my Roy Williams dadgum great day to be a Tar Heel Christmas sweater. I know it ain't Christmas, but I got to ride with my man today.
You do.
And shout out to R. Lamar for the dadgum great day to be a Tar Heel Christmas sweater with Coach Williams on it down in his famous Get Back Run. But yeah, man, this was tough.
Yeah.
This was tough.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, I know when I first heard the news, my first words were what the fuzzy and the word was. I heard he was unhappy. I did hear that about maybe a week or two ago. Like as soon as Wisconsin lost, I heard he was unhappy. But I just did not want to believe that this would be his final year. Like this.
And here's what I'll say, and I've always said this, and I truly believe this to my heart. I think Coach Williams went out the way that he wanted to go out.
Yeah.
And I say that because again, I can speak from experience on this. I know the man, and in order for him to make this decision the way that he did, and I know it may have seemed abrupt for everybody on the outside looking in, but I think when you get to a decision like this, there's a lot of buildup to it.
Yeah.
And the last 2 years have been very, very tough, and then you throw COVID on top of this year, and sometimes you just look and be like, man, is it worth it to like continue to do this? Like, He's made plenty of money. His family is more than okay. He has 3 national championships, over 900 wins, and he is like, what else would you do this for? You know what I'm saying? Like, what else would you do this for other than the absolute love of the game? And I think there does come a point to where you say, okay, my love for my family, even though that's always there, that's always been there, I think it begins to trump the games, the late night of recruiting and the traveling and all that kind of stuff. And I think you look back and you say, all right, coach is over 70 now. Like, how much longer should I do this and keep taking away from time from my family? And I think he finally got to the point where he said, okay, you know what? It's time for me to step away.
Yes, no. I'm half there with you, only because for me, I just feel like, I don't know, apparently when Steve Kirshner, Carolina's SID, was on Adam Gold's radio show, and he, you know, stated that, you know, a couple of years ago, he had to talk coach out of quitting, and that Miss Wanda wanted him to quit, you know, 12 years ago. So, I mean, him quitting isn't anything new to his exclusive circle, you know?
Let's say retiring. Let's not say quitting. I don't like the word quitting. Yeah.
right. Yeah, that is an awful word. But yeah, him retiring isn't new to his exclusive circle. So I agree that he went out on his terms. And I totally agree about the family aspect and all that other stuff. But what broke my heart the most and was just hearing him say, I'm not the right man for the job anymore. And, you know, I just hate that he's leaving this job or that he's retiring, feeling incompetent in ways. And I feel like that's heartbreaking. You know, I just never want, I'm going to cry. I just never want someone of his stature to just feel like he's slipping, you know, and that I can't coach these kids, you know, that just the way that college basketball has morphed is, it just feels unnatural to him, you know. And as his press conference went on, he recanted some of the moments over the last couple of years where he missed some things, missed calling a timeout or missed telling them to file, or when they did file. It's just those little things I feel like has plagued him and made him think that, you know, it's just no longer him anymore. And that's heartbreaking. A coach who has done the unimaginable in 18 years at Carolina, something no coach has ever done. Like you said, 3 championships, 900 wins, the fastest coach to ever do it. You know, he beat Bobby Knight with 903 wins and the top 5, you know, college basketball coach to ever do this. He's on Mount Rushmore. And to leave out saying, you know, we did okay, and I just feel like I'm not the right man for this job anymore. It hurts, you know. It definitely hurts as a fan to hear those words. I'm not the right man for this job anymore.
But I think, so here's the thing. Like, and again, I believe this wholeheartedly, and I'll say it again, Coach Williams left the way that he wanted to leave. I will say this, I disagree with him when he say the game has passed him by. And I said this previously, the game hasn't passed him by, not even close. The game is the same, it's simple. The game is what it is. It's 5 guys on the court playing against another 5 guys, and you got 3 referees and you got 2 great head coaches most of the time. Like, the game hasn't passed him by. The X's and O's, they haven't passed him by, because he's shown generation at time after time after time again, what he does works. Like you just said, he was the fastest coach ever to 900 wins, man. Like, so even if outside people, and myself included, like, can see flaws, or not necessarily flaws, different ways to do and tweak and all this kind of stuff, guess what? You can see that in everybody's stuff that they do. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's a part of being a coach. Nobody rolls something out that's 100% accepted by everybody else.
Yeah.
I don't care what it is. Like, nobody, you can roll out Apple. Apple products are supposed to be the best. Guess what? You still got Android users.
Yeah.
Like, people who don't like Apple. You know what I'm saying? Or vice versa. So it doesn't matter what you roll out. There are things that people can pick apart here and there. I will say this, I do think the kids are the factor in this. I think the new age kid is what I feel like, I don't want to say push, I feel like is where the missing link was.
Yeah.
Because again, there's a huge gap from a 70-year-old talking to an 18-year-old. Like, that's a huge gap, man. And that gap only gets further and further away. So when you talk about Coach Williams, it's not the game. I do kind of think it is the kids and what they kind of represent nowadays, and how you miss out on a kid because they want to get paid, or you miss out on the kid because they want to bring their trainer, and you know all of these different type of things that I feel like are being thrown into recruiting nowadays. But even with the kids that you get, like, all right, I gotta adapt in the way that I coach this kid, which that's a coach's job, no question about that. But for me, I think it's more so that to communicate with these kids nowadays is getting tougher.
Yeah.
It's getting very, very tough. And I think Coach Williams is just, I think he's kind of over that part of it, I think.
I would be too. Like, for me, I've said this in the Hills House when we discussed it. I don't know why at 78 you would want to be president. I can't imagine being a coach 70 plus, almost 80, because I think Coach K is like 75, 70. Like, it's my, why would you want to be around 19, 18? Like, I just would not want the stress of yelling at 19. Like, I would want to be in my 70s on a porch with some sweet tea, watching my grandkids play in the front yard. There's just
absolutely
no way I would want to be running around some 18-year-old stressed because he ain't go to class. He's on party. Like, you know, it's too much going on. You already raised your kids, and now you're raising even more kids. It's just a lot. So,
I'll say this to that point, though. Like, we want, coaches want to be influencers of men.
Yeah.
And we want to give them, because again, in that gap, that 70 to 18 year old gap, like I used to tell my kids at Southern, at the time I was like 35. And so if I'm 35, 34, and you're 18, that gap right there, that means, and on top of that, I've done everything that you want to do. I've seen all of the pitfalls and stuff. So I want to try to prepare you for that.
Right.
As a man, especially at Southern, for me, as young black men, and for Coach Williams, any kid that he came across, like, he may not could have related to them on the level of, you know, where you come from and all that kind of thing. Now, mind you, Coach Williams didn't grow up rich.
Yeah.
Like, Coach Williams came from, you know what I'm saying, a struggle too.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Very humble beginning. So, like, for him to, so he understands it from that perspective, but at the end of the day, like, he is a white man, like, so, and a lot of the kids that he coaches are black, and so, like, so, and not to say that that's the disconnect, but at the end of the day, as coaches, you want to feel like that you have an impact on these kids' lives in the positive, and sometimes it can become, I guess, like a duty for you to say, like, because like you could ask, like, I didn't want to leave Southern until I had a class that was maybe full of seniors and everybody was gonna go, and that allowed the door for me to open to go. But my wife was like, you know, there's always gonna be a kid, right? And like, that was the realest statement that I heard, because I'm like, dang, you're right. I was like, well, I don't want to leave until such and such. But then, like, where does that leave me as a coach? Like, does that leave me stagnant in high school? Does that leave, do I not get the opportunity to grow because I'm always, so I had to reprogram myself and say, all right, listen, this is what I want to do, you know, as far as coaching and all that is concerned. And I feel like Coach Williams was at that point now where he felt like, okay, I've led you guys as far as I can take you. And now it's time for somebody else to come in and pick up, hopefully, where I left off and do just as good, if not better, of a job. And guess what? That right there is not only huge shoes to fill, but it's also going to be a lot of pressure on whoever takes over next.
So before we dive into that, that's a good segue too. I just want to say, how amazing do you have to be to recognize that you're no longer a fit for the greatest job in the world? Like, to walk away, I can't, do you know you would have to drag some people out of that job kicking and screaming, but to recognize I'm not the best man for this job anymore, someone else can come in here and like you said, and do what I did, if not better, is remarkable, because I can't even recognize that I'm wrong most times. Right. One of the best jobs ever. So
I'll say this too, because for Coach Williams, like, if you know Coach Williams, he is one of the biggest competitors in life.
Yeah.
And when I say in life, I'm talking about, like, he wants to beat you at everything. Like, getting to the chair first. he gonna be like, I got you. I sat down first. Like that's how competitive that man is. So for him to say, you know what, it's time for me to step away from this particular job, like you said, the one of probably, if not the greatest job on earth.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll put a on that, the TH. Like to step away from that. In your right mind, in the position to continue to coach, probably 2, 3, 4, 5 years down the line, you're right, man. Like he has, he that shows me right there that he is in a completely different space right now.
Yeah.
Like when it comes to coaching, because like he is by far one of the most competitive guys ever, and for him to step away from this job at this time. He's definitely in a different place.
Yeah, I'm going to miss him. I am. I'm going to try not to cry. I've actually had to mute Roy Williams on my timeline because it gets so overwhelming seeing the emotions. And it's just like, you know, you kind of want to be able to not get over it, but, you know, be in a space where it doesn't ruin your day because you definitely, well, I woken up the past couple of days like, damn, Coach Williams really retired. Like,
yeah,
to not see that anymore. It's gonna hurt, and the next person in this job. Listen, and I wonder. It's crazy. It's just crazy how you get to that stature. Like, how do you just become this top person? Like, you know, Dean Smith status. It is Dean Smith status, if not more, because. The generation he's impacted is insane, but to be at Dean Smith status and to come in, I can't, how do you get there? How do you get there, David? Like, how do you get to such a pedestal? Like, and I don't even, the crazy thing is part of me doesn't think he even realizes who he is. Part of me just doesn't think he understands, like, the impact
that
he's had on people.
So this is how you do it. You put your head down and you work. Mm. Like that's it. And then one day you're gonna look up and you're gonna be one of the goats. Like it's that simple. Like there's nothing special that Coach Williams did, other than he patterned what he did after somebody who was already great. Mm-hmm. Dean Smith. That's again, like they tell you this all the time. If you want to be a millionaire, pattern your habits after a millionaire. Like, why would you pattern your habits after somebody who broke? Like, you're going to be broke. So if you pattern your habits and what you do after somebody who is already great, Dean Smith was here. Yeah. And he took that, and he took it to Kansas. Coming from the University of North Carolina, he took it to Kansas, and he did it at Kansas. He recruited the right way. He played the right way. And it just didn't work out for him championship-wise, even though he was in championship, Final Fours, and all that kind of stuff at Kansas. Then when he comes back to the University of North Carolina, it's simple. It's simple. It doesn't miss a beat. He comes in 2 years and wins the national championship in 2005 with us.
Yeah.
And now his legacy just starts to pile on again. As much as we say that North Carolina recruits itself because of his history, a lot of kids do go to North Carolina because, you know what, I want to play for Roy Williams.
Yeah.
Marvin Williams will tell you that. Marvin Williams said, I was going wherever Coach Williams was. We just got lucky that he was at the University of North Carolina. So we were blessed to have the number 2 player in the nation come to the University of North Carolina. And as I told you, I had never seen a player that talented work that hard.
Yeah.
And because he wanted to play for Roy Williams, we got a chance to be blessed with that talent. And also he fit within what we already had as a group, and he was able to propel us or help us get to a national championship and help Coach Williams win his first one. So, like, whoever takes over, that's next. I hope they come in with an attitude of understanding first the blessing that it is to be at the University of North Carolina as the head coach. And then also try to I don't want to say whoever comes in next needs to try to feel Coach Williams' shoes or Dean Smith's shoes.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, I feel like there has to be, you want it to be, you don't want North Carolina to basketball to be completely different.
Right.
That's why, in my opinion, you have to stay in family. Because if you go out here and you get a Mark Few, whose name has been thrown out there, a Jay Wright, whose name has been thrown out there, a Brad Stevens, whose name has been thrown out there, it's not going to be North Carolina basketball anymore. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I get it. Things can change for the better, but North Carolina basketball is.
Yeah.
Dean Smith, Roy Williams.
Yeah. Definitely a storied program. So before we go into the options, what was it like to hear your name mentioned by Coach Williams as one of the players that, you know, he loves and thanks and all that? Like, when he said your name, I was like, oh my God, I podcast with that. So, like, you know, what went through your mind? Because, you know, he couldn't name everybody, but, you know, right. He did name you. And how did that make you feel?
Like, I felt great, right? To have somebody of his stature again mention your name, like I was like, oh shoot.
Right.
But he said, me. Like, I'm looking around like, oh, me. But at the end of the day though, because I text him when I found out the news and just like thanked him for everything. And the reason why I thanked him for everything was because I probably told the story before. When Coach Williams took over, I didn't want that man as the coach. Like, in my freshman year, we had played him in the preseason NIT, and we beat Kansas, and we beat him pretty good because Coach Doherty kind of knew what they were going to do. So he put in a special offense for us, and we were backdooring their butt all night. We was, like, killing them. This is when they had Kurt Heinrich, what's big fella named Nick Collison, the kid Miles, like they had a squad. And so, matter of fact, they went to the national championship that year. And so for me, it was all about thanking him for giving me the opportunity that he didn't have to give me. Mm-hmm. When he came in, again, everybody knows I walked on as a freshman, my freshman year, because they didn't have enough scholarships. And then Coach Williams came in after Matt Doherty ended up getting fired. Coach Williams came in and honored my scholarship, which for me, he didn't have to do. And the fact that he did it from that point forward, it was all about me proving to him that he did not make a mistake.
Yeah.
Like I that was my goal every single day that I walked into the gym, that, hey, bro, you did not make a mistake in keeping me. Like, and I want you to understand that. I want you to know that. And so what I do, I put my head down and I work my butt off. Like, but that's what I was used to anyway. So I'm going to prove to you that not only did you not make a mistake, but I'm going to prove to you something that I'm going to leave a mark in you somehow, some way. And that was my goal every single day. And so when my senior year came, after we won the 2005 National Championship, and my senior year comes, like, I told him, I said, hey, this ain't going to be no 8-20 year now. And he was like, David, I know. He said, well, yeah, we're going to play it up to the crowd or to the fans. And yeah, we're young and all that kind of stuff. But I knew. I had all the confidence in the world. Not only did I have all the confidence in the world in myself, but I had the confidence in him too. You know what I'm saying? So, and then the freshman class that we brought in happened to be very, very talented. And so, like, I just knew. And so what we did in 2006 was a way for me to say, thank you. Thank you, Coach, for believing in me. And so the 2005-2006 team, my senior year, again, for me, was one of the best times that I had at the University of North Carolina. I know we didn't achieve a national championship, but we achieved something for me that'll last a lifetime. And that is overachievement in everybody else's expectations. Right. So.
And you're responsible for the 09 championship too, because
I am. Just you know, foundation, you know, just a little bit. Foundation.
So what are your last words to Coach Williams? Not last words. I'm sure you'll talk to him again.
I'll definitely talk to him again, but just in this moment again, like I told him in the text message, I said, bro, I can say so many things to you right now and everything is going to end in thank you. And so, like, I just want him to know that he is very much appreciated. And I can't speak for everybody else, but by me, for the opportunity that he continued to give me. Again, Matt Doherty gave it to me first, him and Coach Q. And I always shout out Coach Q, because Coach Q was the one who actually recruited me. And then Matt Doherty came on board later, but Coach Q was the foundation of it. Matt Doherty made the final decision. And then the decision that Coach Williams made to keep me, like, that's what's kept me on the trajectory of why I'm able to sit here today. And so the foundation that I was able to build through the University of North Carolina, Coach Williams is very much a part of that. And again, very, very thankful for it.
Okay. So who's up next?
That's the million-dollar question.
I've heard that Bubba is, Bubba had a press conference and he wants to do this quickly, efficiently. There's no search committee. It's just him and Kevin. I cannot say his last name. Please do not. I kill it every time, the chancellor. I just call him Chancellor Kev. Chancellor Kev and Bubba.
Stay right there.
Are the two people who are committed and in front of bringing options to the Board of Trustees. So I heard that, you know, he's involving former players. He's calling around, making sure that he gets everybody's input. And to me, while there is no search committee officially, to me, there is an unofficial search committee, because you're asking the opinions of other people, right? You're making sure that this is not just a Chancellor Kev and a Bubba decision. This is a Carolina family decision. And mm-hmm. So the questions that he's been asking are, of course, who are your options? Who do you want that's outside of the Carolina family? What type of kids do you want in this program? And what do you see are the next steps for this program going forward? So David, my first Bubba question to you is, who are your four options for the head coach position at the greatest university in the world outside of East Carolina University, Go Pirates?
Okay. So here are my four picks, and three of them are Carolina guys. There is one guy that is outside of the Carolina family.
Okay.
For me, I think it is. I think you can stay in-house and say, Hubert Davis, do you want the job? Hubert Davis being a former North Carolina Tar Heel, being on the bench for the last, eight, nine years or something like that. I don't know. The only thing with Hubert taking over is, I don't know if he wants it.
I heard he does. I heard he wants it. Like, I heard he wants the job.
If he wants it, then I think he can be the guy forward. Second guy, Jerry Stackhouse.
Mm-hmm.
I think Jerry Stackhouse is not only a name now, D-League-wise, he was able to do some, or G-League, excuse me, he was able to do some great things on the NBA level. And now at Vanderbilt, he's building.
Yeah.
I thought Vanderbilt was a tough job. I didn't expect him to win right away. I think it's a tough job, not only with the academic standards and all that kind of stuff, but like Vanderbilt is a tough job. It doesn't recruit itself. You got to.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Almost like a Wake Forest. It doesn't necessarily recruit itself. Every now and then you're going to get a class that's really, really good, and hopefully you can hold on to them for 4 years nowadays. So Jerry Stackhouse would be a name that I think could come in. Now that's a piece where I think the game changes a little bit, though, as far as it being the Carolina way. I will say I think Jerry will come in and change some things up as far as, like, what you see offensively.
Mm-hmm.
And so the style of basketball will probably be different. Last name in the Carolina family, Wes Miller.
Yeah.
Wes Miller has done one hell of a job at UNCG, and how he has found the kids that he wants as far as that program is concerned. And so for Wes, I don't know if you would see the same style of Carolina basketball. I do think you would see his style.
Yeah.
Like his style. So you would see more of what UNCG does and all that kind of stuff, because every coach has their style.
Yeah.
So and then I think the last person that you would possibly bring into that job, and I said this earlier, I think you leave any job in America for the University of North Carolina.
Great.
And the last person I think would be Brad Stevens. I know Jay Wright and Mark Few were thrown out there. And again, as I see them as great coaches, and I see them, they would probably leave their universities for the University of North Carolina. Mm-hmm. I just think Brad Stevens is, first off, he's young enough. Mm-hmm. Like, so he's in that realm of where you don't have a guy for just about 10 years down the road. Mm-hmm. I think you have a guy for foreseeable future.
Yes.
As long as, you know, they're doing what they're supposed to do. And the job that he did at Butler and the job that he's done in the NBA, I think that is going to resonate with kids. I think that is going to be a situation to where he comes in and now he's going to say, hey, I was the head coach of the Boston Celtics. I coached Jason Tatum. I coached Jaylen Brown. I coached Kemba Walker. Like, you know, so he's going to have some things in the recruitment tree that some of the other coaches may not have. So if you go out of the Carolina family, but here's the thing, I don't care who you hire, that bench need to be Carolina.
Yeah. Yeah.
Simple as that. I'm going to put that out there now. Like, I don't care who you hire, the bench need to be Carolina. Like, even if you go outside and you hire Brad Stevens, that's okay. Don't bring four guys in here that ain't from Carolina now. And I'm talking to Wes Miller. I'm talking to Jerry Stackhouse. I'm talking to Hubert Davis too. Whoever takes over this job, don't do that. Don't do that, because I'm telling you now. That's gonna be a problem for me.
That is my, so before I give my candidates, that is my issue with this job. Because outside of it being one of the best college coach or best coaching jobs you could ever have, the standards and the expectations outside of the fandom, outside of the kids, it's insane just for that reason right there. Because I can't imagine, say, or any coach coming in and feeling like, you know what, no, I'm going to keep Carolina guys. So let's say a Wes Miller and Jerry Stackhouse, right? Because they've been to North Carolina, they played for North Carolina. I can't imagine the phone calls of your former teammates, your current staff member, your current staff, whether it's Vanderbilt or UNCG, or, you know, just the current UNC coaching staff. Like, how do you decipher who to put on that bench without someone feeling slighted? And I'm sure everyone is mature. I'm sure people would understand. But just imagine me being in that position and feeling like, do I go with my teammates? Like, because I know how great they've been, or do I keep the staff that I've won with at my current school? Do I just completely obliterate everything and go brand new? Like, what about the coaching staff? Like, it's just, it's too much. It's way too much for me. Just thinking about it, I'm stressed.
Yeah, and they should be stressed, because guess what? This is a very, very important decision. Very, very important. And when I say that, like, you have to, so again, whether it's Jerry Stackhouse, Wes Miller, Hubert Davis, Brad Stevens, your bench need to be Carolina. It's that simple. I don't care. Me personally speaking, I don't care about all the other stuff. Make your decisions inside the Carolina family. And here's why. For, I don't know how many years now, Coach Williams has been the mainstay. Mm-hmm. And then Hubert Davis is the only other Carolina guy on the bench. When I say Carolina guy, I'm meaning like from Carolina. Mm-hmm. And honestly, I thought it would be that way for a long time. Mm-hmm. Honestly, I didn't see Coach Williams retiring right now. But now that he has retired, I'm not saying that, because I absolutely love Coach Rob. Absolutely love him. Coach Rob is my guy. Brad Fredericks, I think he's a heck of a guy, heck of a coach. He can do it. Sean May, Kendall Marshall, they aren't in roles to where they can coach. So I don't know. But whoever comes in, it has that bench has to look like Duke's. I'll just say it like that. The bench has to look like Duke's.
I like that. I agree.
And why does the bench have to look like Duke's? Because you still got to compete.
Yeah.
You still got to get out here. And now again, I understand it. As much as North Carolina recruits itself, we still got to go get them.
Yeah.
We still got to go get them. So that's just my personal opinion. And if anybody got a problem with that, y'all can kick rocks. I don't care.
Well, my candidates, they're not even anything different from yours, but I'm going to add one more. I'm interested to throw Jared Haase's name in that.
Jared Haase. Coach Haase.
Haase. Haase.
You know what? I thought about that.
So he's been under Coach Williams for 60 million years, and I'm being totally extra, but it's from 1999 to 2012. So for 30 million years. He's at Stanford, and he currently has Stanford at the best record they've had since 2008. I wouldn't mind seeing him coach at UNC. With all of your candidates, Wes, Jerry, Brad, and Coach Davis, I wouldn't mind seeing Coach Haase's name thrown in that.
And so I thought about that, too. I thought about Coach Haase and especially the job that he's done at Stanford. I just don't like it.
Heard.
Yeah, I just don't like it. I don't like it. Yeah, but to be honest, like I'm ready to see. I think I'm ready to see a black head coach at the University of North Carolina.
I'm hoping Coach Davis gets the opportunity. He's 50. I don't know why I thought he was older, but he's 50. Yeah. So technically, you know, he's a baby, and he's recruited damn near half that bench. All the kids love him. To my understanding, they would run through a brick wall for that man. And he has them doing things just, you know, religion-wise and you know, building them to be better men off the court. Like, he's doing everything that you would want a head coach to do for these kids. And they love him. Mm-hmm. The parents love him. Fans love him. Why would you tell him no? I can't. He's, like you say, he's a Carolina guy. He has the NBA experience. Like he has every little tidbit that you would want in a Carolina head coach, including being able to keep the recruits, because he's been on that recruiting trail. And a lot of them are waiting to see who the next head coach would be. Why wouldn't you keep it as a man who recruited them? Because from what I'm hearing, kids are already getting calls. You know, like,
I bet.
From Carolina, and everybody's on standstill. I just see Coach Davis, you know, even if, and I hate to say it, because a lot of times, you know, you get coaches in transition, and I don't want to think of him as a transition coach. I want to think of him as that long-term coach. But even if it is just the transition, you know, he is the coach to keep Carolina stable right now.
I completely agree with that. I think that Coach Davis would be, I think he would be a seamless transition.
Yes.
I'll put it that way. I think it would be a seamless transition. The thing, or the question would be then, though, is will he feel pressure to keep the same staff? Like, do you feel pressure to keep Coach Rob? Do you feel pressure to keep Brad Fredericks? Do you just slide Sean May up to assistant coach? Or do you slide Kendall Marshall up to dope? Like those are the decisions that, again, like, so seamlessly, I like it. I like Hubert Davis, like, as the next head coach as the University of North Carolina. Again, my only thing was, and when I said that, you know, I didn't know if Coach Davis wanted it, it was from, you know, sporadic conversations with him.
Yeah.
You know, because when he first got there, you know, I talked to him. I said, hey, you know, if you ever go off and get a job, you know, we'll love an interview, you know, assistant coach, you know, out there singing, you know. He was like, when Coach Wim done, I'm done.
Yeah.
Like, oh, okay, okay. And so, but I also said too, that's gonna be very, very difficult if your name start getting tossed around as the next head coach of the University of North Carolina. To say you done, I don't know about that.
Yeah.
You might take one or two to say, hey, all right, let me go on jumping this thing as the head coach's seat. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like out there, because that conversation is a little bit different when you held off as the assistant.
Yeah.
But when they talking about you as the head guy, oh yeah, that's a completely different ball game now. So yeah. So for Hubert, I absolutely agree with you on everything that you said. I think he's a perfect candidate for the job because of the kids who are currently there, because the kids love him. Like you said, he's recruited most of the people on that bench. And so for me, it makes sense. It makes sense. But the other candidates also make sense.
Yeah.
So it's really about, I guess, whoever Bubba is calling. I ain't got that call yet. You know, I would love to get that call. If anybody want to call me, CNWM and now, I can give you my input. So,
I do hope in some capacity you are involved. I don't know what that looks like, but I do think you and a few other players I have in mind being involved going forward and really evolving UNC would be
fantastic. So, you know, I've been, you know, playing around on social media and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, I got fans hitting me and, yeah, man, well, I hope you in there and all that kind of stuff. And I tell guys, it's not that simple. One, because I had a bunch of people hit me up like, hey, bro, you going for the head job? As much as I would love for them to call me and say, hey, would you be interested in the head job? Absolutely. I also understand that there's this process of you got to have all of these years of an assistant, and it ain't what Penny Hardaway did. It ain't like so miss me with all of that, because if we being real, I and I'll say this with the utmost confidence in my life, I'm ready. Right now, here currently, only having 4 years of coaching experience under me, I'm ready. And the stuff that I don't know, I'll learn just like that. So I'll leave it there. Leave it there because I don't want to get all into it, get all riled up and emotional about it. But at the end of the day, I don't want people to keep putting restrictions on me just because you think that you got to have this, I don't know, outside facade to be somebody's head coach, especially at one of the best universities in the world. I don't want to hear that. You don't have to have a proven record, because guess what? If the right man has the job, it will work out for him.
Yeah.
No matter what. And so for me, again, as much as I would be honored to sit on the bench for the University of North Carolina as a coach, I also want people to know, one, it's not that easy. And two, that if I do get the opportunity, trust me, they won't regret it.
Yeah. And this podcast ain't going nowhere.
And hey, I'ma still be the player and the fan. We might have to check. No, we're gonna still be the player and the fan. Cause I always say I'm a coach too. And then, but I just might. Nah, it ain't going nowhere.
No, it's just a way. We gonna find some way to work.
Old school Mondays ain't going nowhere. I might have to slack up on the bums a little bit though. I might have to be professional and, you know, not talk as much junk.
But what we
that'll be all right.
I will pull up to that practice gym with this laptop and this microphone ready.
You know what I'm saying?
Damn near if I need be. However, but we can say that Coach Williams left Carolina or retired from Carolina, sweeping Duke. So if there ain't nothing else to hang your hat on, and he beat Duke at home, his last home game on senior night, by 18 points.
Dadgummit.
Right. You can't complain ending your career off of defeating Duke. So what's next? What do you envision Carolina looking like going forward? Not even mentioning the coaches, just program-wise, what do you foresee? What are some necessary changes the basketball program has to make?
I think everything will be on the court. Okay. I think again, off of the court, Coach Williams did everything the right way, I feel like. Like, no question about that. So now that all of that silly stuff is behind us and we're able to be who we have always been, I think the changes will be on the floor. I do think Carolina needs to adapt to a little bit of a different style of basketball. And the reason why I say that is because the kids have changed. Mm-hmm. The kids have changed. And as a coach, we have to recognize that, we have to understand that. But we also have to recruit kids instead of going to get, if you can find a five-star kid that fits what you want to do as a coach, then you go get that five-star kid. But if it's a four-star kid that fits what you want to do as a coach better, mm-hmm. then I think you need to take that. So I think as much as we want to find kids and we want to grab all of these five-stars and have the number one recruiting class in America and all that kind of stuff, talent-wise, I think basketball wise, we have to start looking at kids who understand the game up here a little bit better than what we've had in the past, so to speak. So talent wise, I think the floodgates will open up, especially if you got a Hubert Davis at the helm, a Wes Miller, a Jerry Stackhouse. For me, more so Jerry than the other two, but just because of that NBA connection and all of that kind of stuff, I think kids will flock to that a little bit more. I think if Jerry was on, I think that I know for a fact there are a couple kids that we would have had from Duke that ended up going to Duke. Had Jerry been on staff, they would have been at the University of North Carolina. So little things like that, I think will, I think we'll start to get classes that are that top three again, that top two, maybe even one again. And so, you know, I think the changes will come on the court more so than the actual program. I do know one thing that needs to change again. I've always said this, the shoe game got to change. North Carolina only needs to play in numbers. No Mellows, no CP3s. And I continue to say this ever. So whoever wants to say something can say it. North Carolina should be the only school that plays in numbers only. Do y'all hear me?
I will put this on social media for you. I will do this.
I appreciate exactly. that.
You're welcome.
Because, like, the way that Coach Williams was coming out looking fresh every game this year.
Yeah.
Them kids need to run out in the same jumps. Every game.
That's why you need to be coached. And that is one of my things that has to change with North Carolina's program, not really change because they're already kind of on that way. UNC is definitely a traditional school. And I mm-hmm. think I want the basketball program to kind of model what the football program has done. And for me, UNC football is so refreshing and it's so hip, you know, and it's current. And that includes, you know, being more active on social media. These kids are on social media. They love the fanfare. When kids announce that they're coming to UNC, UNC basketball needs to do what UNC football does. Retweet these kids, get them in front of eyes, or, you know, whenever UNC gets a Virginia guy and Coach Bly is throwing up VA all over the timeline and he's just incredibly hype and the other coaches are doing the same exact thing. And, you know, they're retweeting videos from practices and they're showing the closeness with the kids and showing just how much fun you can have with UNC football. Coach mm-hmm. Matt Brown is even involved, you know, and he's on Twitter retweeting the kids. And whenever they get a recruit, they do all the gifts and stuff. And it's just an exciting moment for that kid to be not only nationally recognized on every top 10 billboard, but to go to the best program in the world and also let everyone in the world know that these coaches see me and they appreciate me and they're celebrating me. And it's just a really special moment. And I think that's something UNC has to do. You know, I know Coach Williams didn't like the internet or he didn't like tweeting or Twitter or whatever he called it, Twit.
Right.
So I do think that in that aspect, the program does kind of have to get younger. You have to have these coaches involved more so on social media. It's just the involvement of where we are with these kids. They like the fanfare. So you kind of got to, you know, dip your toes in it a little bit and help promote that. So
agree. The only thing I'll say to that is, again, like you have your traditionalists, like at the University of North Carolina. That's why North Carolina never, like outside of the one tournament that they played, they never brought back the black jerseys. Coach Williams said, he used to always say, our colors are Carolina blue and white.
Yeah.
So he never wanted to step outside the box. So as I agree with you in that, I do also see it from, and I never really understood that either. Until, like, I got on this side of the game. Like, some of it is about protecting the imagery of your particular institute and the legacy of what North Carolina basketball is. I think football can do that because they've kind of had to rise from the ashes a little bit. And you see what happened when they went outside of the North Carolina, like, fold and, like, they started to go down a little bit, and then they bring back Matt Brown. They bring back former players to be assistant coaches and be on the sideline and all that kind of stuff. And now North Carolina basketball, football is like this, on the rise. It's on the rise. And so basketball-wise, as I do agree with you, getting with the times, especially social media and all that kind of stuff, pumping up the kids, like it's going to be great. But I also think North Carolina has always told the line of, let's be very conservative when it comes to some of the content that we put out, kind of deal. Does that matter? Maybe yeah. Not. But
I mean, when you there's youth to it, and when you're mentioning mm-hmm. Carolina former players being on staff, there's youth to it. That I mean, there are younger coaches who are very involved in social media. I mean. There's a fine line I think that they can tiptoe on, but I do it's just because I think whenever Cole Anthony and Armando are the two players who kind of ushered in this new wave of social media for UNC because they weren't doing most of the stuff they're doing now before Cole and Armando, looking at the shoe games, you know, the outfits before the game, and things like that. So I just. I'm not asking for it to be a complete, you know, unveil, but, you know, there has to be, you know, some more energy in trying to connect with these kids and understanding. Like Coach Max said, he was talking about drip on his press conference the other way, talking about his shoes, and he's so engaged and, you know, learning mm-hmm. hip words and things like that. I mean, it's just the little details that kids are, you know, proud of, or when they see this 70 plus year old coach and he's talking about drip and wearing some 11s on the court, like
it's
you know, having some excitement and connection with that, like, you know, I think that kind of
thing. Yeah, I absolutely. I 100% agree with you. If listen, if I was a coach, it would be all that. I have J. Cole at every game. I like everybody that's like Carolina fans, celebrity wise. Oh, they front row every game. Oh, I'm gonna turn it. I don't want to say turn it into a spectacle, but there would be a push for, you know, us to kind of elevate the atmosphere.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? A little bit, culture wise. So, you know, I get it. I completely agree with that though. But we'll see what happens with that.
Yeah, I don't know. I just
like seeing Midnight Madness would be dumb. Oh, lit. My God.
Lit. Like, you would have someone like be that. Like do it. Like, you would just have, like, the energy would just be insane. And it would feel like, you know, students are kind of more involved. Because that's also mm-hmm. been a thing with UNC. You know, that actual fans are pushed back because, you know, you have more of the older fans in the front, the donors. Right. Things like that, you're kind of missing the fanfare of UNC out in the front. So when you're looking at it from TV, it looks kind of up. But when you're there, mm-hmm. most of your hype fans
are up top. Yeah, yeah. They ride above the TV line.
Yeah. So I mean, those are little details I think UNC definitely has to fix. For me, anyway, because I would love to see some, you know, some more black and brown faces at the bottom, you know, and just really enjoying it. I mean, I think so.
So here's one of the reasons too why that is. So the Dean Dome, when it was built, the donors, the crazy part about it is the people who sit in those seats aren't necessarily like crazy rich, or they've been grandfathered in at the price that it was in, like when. So, you know, they were getting ready to build another basketball facility a few years back. I think they kind of deaded it, but because they wanted to, like, generate more revenue. Yeah. Because those seats are grandfathered in at a certain price to where that's what they pay every year to be able to come in and sit in those seats. And so the fact that they're grandfathered in means they ain't really gonna change. So they were gonna do another facility. As long as they're in the Dean Dome, they couldn't do it. They were gonna do another facility, put maybe a little bit smaller seating where it was fans based around the joint and have press boxes up top for the donors and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, I don't know if they're still gonna do that. That could have been one way to fix it, but I think for now, you just keep it. You just stay at the Dean Dome, and plus, I mean, the Dean Dome is like, you don't want to change that. I don't think you build another facility. That's for me. It just doesn't work.
Yeah, I get it. Get it. I just a little tweak to kind of get more lit at UNC. You know,
yeah,
a little small tweaks. So yeah. That's it. I don't think I have any more questions for you. Oh, we got to talk about the Final Four. Totally forgot.
Yeah, Final Four.
I ain't watching it. Ain't nobody watching it. This just.
Hey, whatever. What are you talking about? You're definitely watching it.
I'm definitely watching women's basketball because that is definitely more exciting. No shame.
I will agree with you on that. Like, UConn and South Carolina going down. But, you know, Stanford finna run away with this.
That's the same. It's just been more thrilling. Like,
it has been. It has been. I agree with that. It has been. It has been.
T-shoe, flipping the bird. Like, it's spicy. I like it.
Yeah, I like it too. But you got a chance for history to be made with Gonzaga possibly going undefeated.
Yeah.
But you got. I'm sorry, you said what?
But you think they're going to fall, though?
I do. I think they're going to make it all the way to the national championship and lose to Baylor.
Hmm. Won't that be by the...
That will be. It will be. But, hey, you can't sleep on Houston, and you have your Cinderella, mm-hmm. UCLA, who, mind you, played in the play-in game.
Thank you.
Hey, yeah. UCLA been getting it, man.
They did. I know Russell Westbrook is going crazy.
I would be there if I was Russ. If they allow, Do they allow it? They ain't allowed. Is they allowing people in the Final Four?
But I think they would allow Russell Westbrook.
Yeah, he gotta keep his mask on. Him and Kevin Love or somebody like that. That's it. Bring the O'Bannon brothers back or something. Cause they ain't been there since then.
I don't have a dog in the fight. I ain't gonna lie to you. I've been watching women's basketball. I haven't looked. I don't know. Like, ever since Michigan lost, like kind of lost it for me.
They just lost.
I mean, it's just I barely was watching it then, to be honest with you.
This tournament hasn't been as exciting, but with UCLA making their run, with all of the upsets at the beginning of the tournament, it's been good. It's been NCAA basketball at its finest.
When Bubba said it best, college basketball is at its height college basketball is great whenever Carolina basketball is great. And to not see like your typical usual suspects, you know, in that mix.
Whatever.
Even if you talk about Duke, because I would live to see Duke lose like they did last year. Like I would watch that game to no end. Not last year. Was it Zion?
Yeah, before last.
Yeah.
2 years ago. They should have lost way before the end too. They should have lost to UCF.
I remember when they lost. That was a night for me. But it's no fun when the good schools are in. Good schools in quotation. And by good schools, I mean like the popular schools.
Right.
Yeah.
Let these other teams be great. But it's been the teams I've been talking about all year. Houston finally got over the hump, got to the fold. But now they're just going to run into that buzzsaw of Baylor. In my opinion, I don't know if that's going to happen. Because I'm a Houston fan now.
You are.
I'm a Houston fan.
You are.
I just don't know if they can beat Baylor, though. And then Gonzaga going to beat the brakes off UCLA. They're going to beat the brakes off them. But they done won every game by at least 10 points, I know. Had to.
Well, I'm going to put this podcast out before I was supposed to drop the dad's episode yesterday, which is Friday because it's Saturday we're recording this. But I knew that this was sensitive and this, you know, definitely had a different time than the dad's episode. So, and everyone was asking for David's opinion and you know, who he thought the coach would be. You know what, there is one question. You kind of hit on it already. You know, you said that no matter what, that coaching staff has to be Carolina family, whoever the head coach is. Is there a dream coaching staff for UNC that you would like to see on that bench?
That's a great question. I mean, because you got so many guys right now that are Carolina family that are in the coaching world. For me, I think you touch on, I guess, every position. So you bring back a guy that was like in the guard realm. So maybe Shamon Williams. Then you bring back another guy who was maybe a defender, wing, somebody like that. So you got B. Reese out there. You got George Lynch out there. You got Jack Emanuel out there. You got David Noel out there. You got so many guys. You got David Noel out there. And so then I think you hit the bigs. So you think about your Rasheed Wallace's, your
kill to have Rasheed Wallace in a press conference. Like you just like once a month, you just have to have Rasheed do the UNC press conference just for the hell of it. Like you have to.
Like I spoke to Raymond Felton the other day and had zero idea that he was interested in coaching. And like Ray said, I would want to coach there. So, like, I mean, I think there are so many guys out there that you could put on the bench, but I think it'll all boil down to not only being relatable, like inside like the basketball offices of the University of North Carolina, but also being relatable on the road, recruiting, all of that kind of stuff. So as much as, and then you have to also understand like who the parents are nowadays. Mm-hmm. Like the parents will be more willing to send their kid when you got a bench like that.
Yeah.
Like, because a lot of these kids are like, as much as you want to push education, for sure, like you're thinking about getting a degree from the University of North Carolina, but a lot of these kids are like using this one college year to be gone. And as much as I don't necessarily want to see North Carolina run like turn into a one and done factory, mm-hmm. I would like to see us be in contention to get some of the kids that we are supposed to get on a day in on a yearly basis, like some of your top tier kids that just don't have us even in consideration in their top 10 anymore, or their top five or their top four, whatever the case may be. And some of the kids who do have us on there, us losing out on. So, you know, that would be the dream staff. You get you a guard, you get you your wing, you get you a big assistant coach, and then whoever your head coach is, you know, can kind of be the mastermind behind that. But they also got to be able to articulate like whatever it is that the head coach is saying. They can't be so opinionated to where there's a riff in the staff. You know what I mean? So, and that's one of the biggest things that I think. So if you look at a guy like Rasheed Wallace, like, can he be less opinionated than he normally is? Like, can he set aside like his necessary opinion about something to rock with what the head coach says? You know what I'm saying? So that, I think that's the most important part. Put you together a staff that aren't necessarily yes men, because you don't want that. Like, you want guys around you. If me personally, I always wanted guys around me that were going to help me grow.
Yeah.
Like, so as a head coach, I don't need guys around me that's just going to be like, yeah, do that, Dave. Yeah, whatever you said, that's right. No, I want you to challenge me at some point, especially in coaches' meetings and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, we'll challenge each other. We'll grow in the coaches' meeting. But when we leave that coaches' meeting and we walk out that door, we all on the same page. Yeah. You're going to echo exactly what we agree to echo at the end of the day. You know what I'm saying? Because I think that's where a lot of coaches mess up at. They don't have the right staff around them that the staff is helping the head coach grow and the head coach is helping the staff grow. And I think that's the piece where whoever comes in next, they got to get that part right.
Right. And just hearing you say that, I would love a healthy mixture of Dean's boys and Roy's boys. Like, I just to have that healthy mixture of, you know, almost the same, but old and new would just be so refreshing and so cool to see. It would just be awesome to see that. Like, I would,
you know who I wouldn't mind seeing on the bench? And I don't know, because this is, I mean, he's been in the, but I wouldn't mind seeing Eric Montross on the bench.
Listen, I like that. He's such a, Eric Montross is just the bee's knees. And I interviewed him, he's like the nicest person alive. And yeah. I think the one thing that I really appreciate about Eric was, when we spoke, he knows, he tried to understand Black Lives Matter. And that mm-hmm. was incredibly important to me. He was one of the leading voices for the video that Carolina put out last year in response to social injustice. And he was just like, you know, how can I use my privilege to not only help, you know, my teammates, but to help everybody. Mm-hmm. And he said that he talked to people and he understood his privilege and he just wanted to use it for good. And I thought that was so admirable because you don't get many allies like that who not only say, okay, I'm with you, but also, can you teach me? You know, you don't get many people to say, teach me how to
be. I love Big, bro. He's a heck of a guy. He helped me in my transition from coaching and all that kind of stuff. I told you, like, I reached out to a few people in 2016, 17, which was my last year playing, which I, when I knew that I was kind of going to retire. And he was one of the guys that I spoke to the most, because I was thinking about joining the Rams club and all that kind of stuff, but I knew I wanted to coach. So it was a lot. I really just wanted to be around Carolina and hopes to, you know, maybe slide in on the coaching staff or some way, somehow. But at the end of the day, like, I'm super proud of my journey. And that is because of like Eric Hoots, even though Eric Hoots is a huge part of the program too. Don't get me wrong on that. Yeah, Eric Hoots is probably the biggest puzzle of the University of North Carolina. It's like, no question about it. Like, and he has worked his way up from like being a manager all the way to, so shout out to Eric Hoots as well. But and whoever comes in next needs to absolutely keep him.
Absolutely.
Because that, when you talk about seamless transition, just him alone would help that so much more. But back to Eric Montrose, man, I can remember him having his Father's Day camp and just being a part of that, coaching it and all that kind of stuff and the fun we used to have. And then again, after the fact, him helping me in my transition. So I think he's a guy that could make that transition. I don't even know if he wants to coach. Again, this is just something I'm throwing out there, but he will be a guy that I think fits the bill when it comes to understanding. So you have your Dean Smith guys, and then you, a national champion, played plenty of years in the league, and it's very polished around the game and has been in the North Carolina family and around the program for the last umpteen years. So I think he's another guy who you can throw out there as far as being an assistant coach.
Agreed. Before we leave this podcast and thank our sponsors, our last episode of The Player and the Fan did phenomenal. Like, we're almost at 2,000 listens in a week. And I am just...
Which one was that?
Well, we talked about... what did we talk about? We have that the one was an hour and a half long. What did we talk about? Yeah. Horrible.
Oh, we talked about transfers. Yes. Transfers. Yeah.
So Walker Kessler transferred.
Yeah,
so that one did incredibly well in a week. And I just want to thank everyone who shared it, everyone who listened. Like David said on our dad's podcast, which will come out a week after this one, just an hour and a half is a very long time to sit and listen to both of us just talk. And we are beyond appreciative of every single person who takes the time to listen, whether you're on your way to work, whether you're at home, you're working, whatever you're doing at the gym. We are so proud of this podcast. We love this podcast, and we love you guys 10 times more. And we are so incredibly thankful that you allow us into your homes, into your ears, into your minds. And, you know, you just rock with us. Anything that you all have, always hit David and I up, whether it's questions, improvements, whatever it may be. Do not be afraid to reach out and talk to us, because I'm on social media more so than David. So I will probably be more easier to reach.
I'm on social media. I'm on Instagram. Y'all just be tweeting. Get on Instagram. Ask the fans on Instagram. I'm always talking to them on Instagram. But always
talk to you all the time on Twitter, and you don't never be.
I don't tweet. I don't twat. I don't twat. What Coach Williams say? I don't tweet. I definitely don't be tweeting. I mean, saying my, I be, I got my little thing. It'd be like such and such has followed you on Twitter. Like, oh, okay.
I'm gonna try.
Bro, you gotta get the Instagram. Bro, so we on YouTube alone, we got 1.1K views.
Yeah.
For that last podcast, for an hour and a half.
Hour and a half.
I appreciate y'all for rocking with us, yo. Golly, that's tough.
Yeah, and we also want to thank our amazing sponsors for their continuous support. Karl Lamar has a shirt that's coming out that he sent me a design for yesterday, and it's gonna make me cry. I'm gonna wear it. You saw it too?
Yeah, he sent it to me.
I'm gonna cry when I'm there. But yeah.
That's a tough one though. I mean, I'm excited for that one to hit. I think he's gonna blow up on that one.
Got you. So that's Karl Lamar of Karl Lamar Clothing. We also want to thank Vito of My Canvas on TV.
Vito
made that shirt. He made this shirt. Oh, this is one of my favorite Karl Lamar shirts, actually. Hold on, let me show the back. Because today is the day that the 2017 national champions defeated Gonzaga on April 3rd. And this is my UNC champion shirt. Hold on, let me get the back where you can actually see it. Can you see it? Can you see it? Okay.
Yep.
One of my favorite Carolina shirts to wear.
Only piece is he can't sell that one no more.
What?
Yeah, he can't sell that one no more. Cause the C looks too much like the champions logo.
So there's that.
Yeah.
So yeah, that is it for David and I think. David, you got anything else on your heart? Before we go, let's end this again, thanking Coach Williams. I know for me, I would never forget Coach Williams. It was at UNC, not UNC Media, ABC Basketball Operation Media Day. And he was talking to someone, and he saw me walking. He literally stopped talking to whomever he was talking to and grabbed my hand and said, "Hey, kid." And that just did it for me. And, you know, seeing, you know, him smile or light up when I had a question, like, my mom was just convinced, girl, Roy loves your face. He just lights up every time he sees you. And looking back at it, I can kind of see it, but he lit up with everybody. But it's just... Serving him these last 8 years has been an absolute joy. Like, I can't put into words as a fan just how much, you know, I love Roy. Anybody can tell you. I got phone yesterday, like, Kiara, are you okay? Like, he's gone. And then I was able to make his last press conference, which made me mad. I was working and I was on a deadline and I couldn't be there to talk to him. So I just hope he knows that, you know, fans do appreciate who he is, what he's done, and he will forever be engraved on so many hearts. And I hope that UNC can find a way to, there's this meme going around where there's a Blazer retired in the rafters. I think that would be incredibly dope. He already has a court name. But I think it'll be incredibly dope if for, you know, the opening game next season, because he didn't get the fanfare he deserved, the final tour, the last home game with a packed out house, there definitely needs to be a Blazer in the rafters in a first home game and some acknowledgement of who he is and what he's done for not only Carolina basketball, but basketball in general. So
yeah. Leave it at that, because that was beautiful. Hey, Coach, you already know, man. Appreciate you, brother.
Don't cry. Let's go ahead and end this. I'm getting emotional.
Yeah. All right. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, y'all know how we do it. We holler.